today on It's Time.
There's a lot of things God tells us to do. If you want to be blessed by God, do those. Why? Because that's where the blessing, the power, the miracles of God are.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
The Bible says we're his workmanship. You know what workmanship is? When you go and build something, you know, I like old cars. And they have these different car shows in the Magic Valley here sometimes, and people go out there, and you'll see some guys say, yeah, I restored this. That's his workmanship. He's proud of it. Do you know God's proud of you being his workmanship? Why is that? Because there's an anointing in your life as a child of God. Now, you may not know that today. I pray here by the time you walk out of here, you will. You're not saved to set. You're saved to be a demonstration, his workmanship, of God's blessing in your life in a world that doesn't know him. In other words, you're going to be recognized differently than somebody else in the world because you have a God that loves you. Now, that doesn't mean because of that you're going to be loved by everybody. You would think it would be, but that's not the way it works. Sometimes they see the anointing of God in your life and they are jealous. They see how God has used you in such a wonderful, supernatural way. And they go around saying, well, could have used me. Well, not until we come out of our pride will God use us. And God wants to use you as a demonstration of his power, his love, his kindness in a world that doesn't know him. You see, we live in a lost world, friends. I don't know if you looked at the news lately. We're in a really lost world. You are the light of the world. You represent who God is in a world that doesn't know him. You are reality today for God. And if the devil can use day-to-day heartbreak to paralyze you from letting your light shine, he is one. Don't let him do that. You see, Jacob recognized God intervening in his brother in so much that he looked at his brother a few minutes before who he thought was going to kill him, saying, wow, I see the face of God here, because he recognized it was a miracle. He trained. You see, we train ourselves. This is, people say, why do I got to read the Bible? Why do I go to church and hear the Bible being read? It trains you to recognize God. If we don't recognize God, we won't recognize the opportunity that God set us up for. We are divinely inspired by him to be about our Father's business. Nothing happens to us by accident. Now, if you're not a Christian, that does not apply to you. Even when you win, you lose. Because the thing is, you think you did it. And I use the illustration often. The guy that hits the jackpot gambling, and he's going to go back next week and do it again. You know casinos? Most of them do not have to be financed. People finance them when they lose. You see, what I'm saying is that you are God's workmanship. And where you go, in fact, Jesus said that. He said, Lo, they say, heaven's over here, heaven's over there. The kingdom of God comes within you. That means everywhere you go, an element of the kingdom of God reigns. Isn't that good? I can't change the world, but I can change wherever I go for God, and so can you. And sometimes when God inspires us to say something, this is where, again, once again, I can't worry about what they think or what other people say. I've got to do what God says. And moms and dads, that's why it's important to ingrain in your child Christ esteem in your children, not self-esteem. Because even though you may not be around to say, honey, no, don't go partying. And the old saying years ago, mama told me not to come. You know the song? Well, because even though you're not going to be there, invisible Holy Spirit is. And that's why we walk in the Spirit. So, he says, and Jacob said, no, please, if I found favor in your sight, receive my present from my hand, it is much, that I've seen your face, and though I've seen the face of God, and that you are pleased with me. Please take my blessing, that it is brought to you because God has dealt graciously with me, and because, and here is an interesting thing. I underline these three words in my Bible. I have enough. And he urged him and he took it. Isn't that weird? Jacob said, I have enough. I think about that, friends. Do you realize if you're a Christian in this room listening, you're a person in Christ, you have enough. You have enough right now to do what God has called you to do. A lot of times we'll say, well, God, you know, I'll serve you more once I get that new job. I'll serve you more once I get married. God, I'll serve you more once I get divorced. I'll serve you more. And there's always something out there that we will come up with. And God just simply says, hey, listen. I have blessed you. I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Isn't that good news? And every one of us can walk out of here today saying, I have enough. You're all millionaires in Jesus. You say, but Mike, I can't pay my rent. You're a millionaire in Jesus. Why? I have enough. Do you know why? Because you have God, the supplier of your needs. Man, he multiplied loaves and fishes. How, I would have liked to have seen that. I'd like to have seen the looks on the disciples' face. The crowd had no clue what was going on. All they know is they had a fat belly full of fish and wanted more. And here comes another plate by. But the disciples knew something was really fishy going on with the fish. The rest of the crowd probably thought he had a big cave of food someplace. But the disciples knew something was going on. Those that are close to God know and see the miracles. Those around you experience the blessing of the miracle. You see the source of the miracle, they experience the blessing of the miracle. The people of the world will experience the blessing of the miracle of God in your life. But you are the one that see the miracle. See the difference? It's cause and effect. Cause is God blessed you. The effect is other people are blessed. So notice, I have enough. Esau said, let us take our journey. Let us go, and I will go before you. But Jacob said to him, my Lord knows that the children are weak, the flocks and the herds which are nursing with me, and if the men should drive them hard one more day, I think all the flocks will die. Please, let my Lord go on ahead before his servant, and I will lead on slowly at a pace which the livestock can go with me and the children are able to endure until I come to my Lord in Seir. And Esau said, let me leave with you some of my people who are with me. But he said, what need is there? Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way to Seir. Jacob is being Jacob again. You say, what do you mean? Well, Jacob was supposed to be now called Israel, led by God, or chosen by God, or governed by God. And he's telling his brother, no, no, you go on ahead, and I'll be right behind you. But Jacob had no intention of going on behind him. He's going to do something else. Now, what's amazing here, if you go back to chapter 31, God spoke to him and said, you need to return back to your homeland in Cana, to Bethel. That's where you need to go. But Jacob didn't want to go there. And so we find here, Jacob journeyed to Succoth. That's not where God told him to go. Now, real quick, if you want the blessing of God in your life, do what God says. I know that's silly, but it's true. If you want the blessing of God in your life, do what he says. Enter the Garden of Eden. It's all yours. Everything. Just don't eat of this one tree. It's bad for you. Not good. That's the one we want to eat of. Again, people say, and then you have intellectual agnostics. How could a good God put a bad tree in the garden? Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff animals eat that we don't. And if God says don't drink Drano, I ain't gonna drink it. See, that's the problem. God says don't do something because it's not good for you. And we think, and this is what the devil does, God just doesn't want you to have a good time. Because he knows that if you did that, you would be really something. Yeah, I know. I need to drink more Drano. I know. There's a lot of things in the house that are good to eat in the refrigerator. But you don't eat the plastic trays that the ice comes in. You see, God says, it's all yours. It's all good. Just don't eat of this one tree. It's bad for you. And the devil comes along and says, well, he just doesn't want you to have what he's got, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. He doesn't want you to be a god yourself. Yeah, that makes sense. I remember I shared this on the radio past week, but I asked this question. I said, how many people knew where Adam was when Eve ate of the tree? And this one lady puts her hand up and says, watching television. But it says that she ate and gave it to him. He had to be standing right there. Not defending her, saying, bad fruit, don't eat. You know, you go, okay, now it says you're going to die. I want to see this. And she didn't die here. Hey, okay. And here we all are. Now, what does that mean? Simply this. There's a lot of things God tells us to do. If you want to be blessed by God, do those. Why? Because that's where the blessing, the power, the miracles of God are. That's where the demonstration of who you are to be on display in a lost world. We are his handiwork. We are his poema, the Bible says. We are his demonstration of who he is when we do it his way. Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booth for his livestock. Therefore, the name of the place is called Succoth. Then Jacob came safely to the city of Shechem. Again, not where God told him to be. Now, which is in the land of Canaan, which when he came from Paddan Aram, he pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of land where he pitched his tent. From there, the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected an altar there and called it El Elo Israel. God, the God of Israel, is what he puts there. Now, next week, We're going to go into chapter 34. And here is why God wanted him to go to Bethel. Because he goes to where he's not supposed to be and his family gets raped. It's one of these weird stories in the Bible. We'll talk about that next week. There is a blessing in doing it God's way. And so the minute that we start taking back our old nature. See, God gave Jacob a new name. Led of God. Chosen of God. Prince of God. Not heel catcher, dirty, sneaky thief. But we'll find, as oftentimes in our own personal lives, when we come to Christ, God gives us a new name, a new nature, but we want to delve back in to doing it ourselves. We find the destruction that it leaves. You see, there's a blessing in doing it God's way. There just is. And you can truly say, when you do it God's way, I have enough. I don't need anything else. Don't need to steal. Don't need to covet. Don't need to really let it make my heart discouraged when I don't have with somebody else, because I am enough. Because you know what you have enough? Of what God put in your life for the purpose for your life. And God can add. And God does. And sometimes God takes away, which as I get older in life is a good thing. You know, sometimes it isn't till we are emptied that we can contain what God really wants us to have. So if you've experienced any of those things, all I can tell you is this. You, as a Christian, are God's workmanship. God has saved you and given you eternity with him forever and has left you here on this earth to be his workmanship in a world that doesn't know him. Now that ought to make every one of you go out of here looking for opportunity to let your light shine. That's what Jesus said. You're the salt of the earth. What good is salt if it stays in a salt shaker? What good is light if it's under a bushel or under a basket? It doesn't shine. God's good pleasure is to cause you to illuminate and to be around people. And you say, well, Mike, you don't understand. I don't like people. I understand that. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, he's always there, but it's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14 are the two major chapters on the empowering of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. But between those two is chapter 13 of love. Friends, there's an old saying, I don't care how high you jump. I don't care how loud you shout. It's how straight we walk. And the Bible tells us that love is the key part of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. By every intents and purpose, if you've lived your life any length of time, you can really start not liking people. Because they burned you. They've lied to you. They've hurt you. They've cheated on you. They've done all these different things. But God says, I'm going to offset that by my love that I'm going to put in your heart. And when I put my love in your heart, you will love the unlovable. You'll reach out to those that no one else wants. You'll be kind to those and do good that treat you horribly, as Jesus said. You can only do that in the Spirit, friends. You can't do that in yourself. Do good to them, I'll do them real good. I mean, that's the way we think. But God says, no, I want... But, change of nature, change of name, change of heart. No longer heel catcher, but chosen, guided, governed by God. Now we're going to go out and bring people into the kingdom. I always share this too. People are always telling everybody to go to hell. I guess he's getting quite a crowd. I think it's time we start going out and say, go to heaven. Next time somebody leaves, say, go to heaven. I guarantee you, you're going to get a weird reaction. Somebody cuts you off, go to heaven. They're going to go, what'd you say? Now, I've heard this before. It always cracks me up. Some of you older people, Ozzy Osbourne, AC/DC, bet you never thought he'd be mentioned in a sermon, wrote a song called Highway to Hell. Led Zeppelin wrote a song called Stairway to Heaven. I guess they were anticipating the travel on both roads. Go to heaven. That's our message. For every person lost in the world, why were his workmanship? Go to heaven. Because the world is lost and dying. Friends, you are his workmanship. You're the light of the world. Don't let the devil, don't let the world, don't let people even that call themselves your friends try to tell you anything else. Let your light shine. Be about your Father's business. Friends, you are blessed. And you have enough. You have enough. If you're not a Christian here this morning, very quickly, you don't have enough. You don't have a purpose in life. You are playing the game of the world, saying if you do this, you'll be loved. You'll do that, you'll be loved. And all you're doing is wearing yourself out with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what's killing you. Because you have no definitive purpose in your life. Now, here's the thing. Jesus said, when we accept him, we pass from death unto life. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Isn't it time that happens? Do you want another 5 years, 10 years, 20 years like you just had? Or would you like something new in your life? Would you like God to do something brand new and empower you by his Spirit and give you hope and give you unction that doesn't come from yourself but something supernatural? That's what you need. The Bible says the Holy Spirit, the Paracletus, it means one who will literally walk alongside of you, will help you. Haven't you wanted that? Oh, God, if there was just someone here to help. God says, here I am. I'm walking right alongside of you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to restore you. You need that. I need that. Letting God be God, so good in your life. If you're not a Christian, we're going to pray right now. If you're backslidden, you know you haven't been living your life the way God wants you to live your life. You need to pray. Let's pray this. Let's see God do something so supernatural in your life. You'll be able to say, I have enough. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I'm sorry that I've lived life my way. I'm not happy. There's an emptiness. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And your blood took away my past. So from this day forward, I commit my life into your hands. I want to be your child. I want to be your workmanship in the world. So make me now the best I can be for you. So fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can love again and be loved. And God, may your Holy Spirit guide me each day. And thank you for eternal life with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.